listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, March 13th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Justified Before God.
That was good. Thank you so much. Take your Bible, please, and go back to the book of Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans chapter 4. I want you to look at verses 1 through 3, Romans chapter 4. The Bible says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaineth to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I want to speak this morning on justified before God. Justified before God. As we studied in our doctrinal studies, I'm teaching the doctrines of the Bible on Wednesday night. I think that I'm on lesson 24 as we go through the various doctrines of the Bible on Wednesday night. And on Wednesday night, we studied the doctrine of justification. On Wednesday night, I brought out the fact that the book of James deals with justification before man. How the Bible talks about that they shall know you by your works. But then you'll see here in the book of Romans that we're justified before God. There are three prevalent type of views, if you will, only one that is right, but three prevalent type of views when it comes to justification, or if you would please, salvation. And we're going to look at those three different, and I'm going to do some things this morning to illustrate, but we're going to look at all three of those views this morning, and we're going to come to a conclusion that God is going to show us which one is right. And so let's look at just a couple if we could. Take your Bible and go to the book of Romans chapter 3 and in verse 20. The book of Romans chapter 3 and in verse 20. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3 and in verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, the Bible says, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at Romans chapter 3 and in verse 28. Skip down to verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 2, if you will. Look at verse 16, book of Galatians chapter 2, and in verse 16. Here's what the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Listen to it now. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Watch what it says. Not by the works of the law. It says, for the works of the law shall, watch what it says, no flesh be justified. All right, so here's what we have. We have a prevalent philosophy that's out there that is taught by many religions of the world, that a person can be justified by works. Get Michael Cruft to come here a minute, if you will. And so, Mike, come here, if you will. And known the Cruft family for a long, long time. And Mike, we're just going to pretend that you're out there and you're working. You're trying to work your way to heaven. And so, you're kind of shoveling along right there. And he's trying. Now, by the way, we're going to make him look good here. And so, we're going to help him out just a little bit there and see if that fits. I don't know if that fit or not. And no, that doesn't fit. That don't look too good. And so, go ahead and work. All right. And so, here is Mike. And Mike is out there. What he's trying to do is he believes that if he works hard enough, and there's people that believe this all over the world, but they believe if they work hard enough, they're able to earn salvation. They believe if they go out and maybe they shovel snow off of somebody else's porch, then what God's going to do one day, God is going to take their good deeds and put it on one side of the scale, and God is going to take their not so good deeds and put it on the other side of the scale. And what God's going to do is God's going to look at the scale and God's going to make a determination now. Does the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, or do the bad deeds outweigh the good deeds? And if God so happens to see that the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, then they get to go to heaven. But if the bad deeds outweigh the good deeds, then they don't go to heaven. And some people believe that there's a place called purgatory, or some people believe that there's a place that is an in-between place. By the way, that's not in the Bible. The Bible talks about there's two places. The Bible talks about a place that's called heaven and a place that's called hell. And a person that does not have their sin forgiven, yea, a person that's never received Jesus Christ as Savior, the only one that gives eternal life, then that person will one day burn in the flames of hell. And people don't want to do that. So they try to figure out, well, what can I do to become right with God? I mean, after all, I live in Western civilization, and I go out and I work early in the morning till late in the afternoon, and we do live in a working society. And so they begin to equate that which is the work that they do in society to that which is a belief system. And in that belief system, they begin to think, well, if I work this away there, then maybe what I need to do is I need to work in order to merit heaven. And so they begin to work. Maybe it's shoveling snow for a neighbor, or maybe it's becoming religious and they go to church and they think inside of their mind, if they go to church enough, then what's going to happen is one day when they die, because they went to church enough, they'll be able to merit heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach that a person can be saved by works. A definition of works would be this. The Greek word, if you would please, for works would mean a task. It means a deed. It means a doing of a performance. So here's a person that's trying to be helpful. Here's a person that's trying to go over there and work as Mike is working right now. And so they go over there and they work and they shovel and they go over there and they help a neighbor. They go over there and they do something else. Go ahead and pick up something else there. It looks like you and that shovel is not getting along. And so he goes over here and he goes into his reservoir of trying to do some things to build something or to spackle something, and he's doing all that in the name of believing that that's going to help him merit heaven. And so he goes over and he begins to get all these things in his life. But the Bible says, listen to it, Titus chapter 3 and in verse 5, not by works of righteousness. So it's not by the works of the right things that I do. It's not by the works of me behaving right. It's not by the works of me thinking right. It's not by the works of me trying to do right. It's not by the works of my good behavior, but God says, listen to it now. He says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So I'm not saved by the works of the law. That means this. That means some people believe they can get to heaven because they've been baptized, but that's not a Bible teaching. Other people believe that they can get to heaven because they do good deeds, but that is not a Bible teaching. Some people believe that they can get to heaven by taking that which is the communion, but that is not a Bible teaching. Some people believe, well, I can get to heaven if I take the sacraments or by joining a certain type of church that has a certain type of name. But did you know the Bible talks about that a person cannot get to heaven by that which is a work. A person cannot get to heaven by that which is a labor. A person cannot. You can be as good as you want to be. You can help as many people as you want to help. You can be as honorable and as respectful and have dignity in the community, far above the fray of men, but yet the Bible teaches there's only one way to be able to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. So a person can take and work and work and work and work and work and work and just keep working and just keep working and keep, and they can sweat and boy, they give it everything that they've got. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with working. There's nothing wrong with trying to serve God. But now wait, that does not merit heaven. That does not help anybody to get closer to heaven. The only way I could ever go to heaven is not by the works of the law. The works of the law, if you would please, could be demonstrated by the plumb line that somebody would hold up. And they hold up the plumb line with a weight on the bottom of it to see if something is straight. That's like the word of God. You'll see in Amos that's what was done there. You'll see that the word of God is like a mirror, as we discussed on Wednesday night, where you look into the mirror and you see that there's things out of place. You look into the mirror and you see that things need to be adjusted. You look into the mirror and you see that things are not exactly the way that you thought they were before you looked into the mirror. And by the way, that's how come coming to church, a church that uses the Bible, is a very good thing. That's why coming to church where the man of God gets up and he opens the Bible and he begins to show you things in the Bible. Hey, that's a whole lot better than going to a church that doesn't even have a Bible. And that's a whole lot better than going to a church where they don't believe in opening the Bible. Listen, the Bible teaches that we ought to go according to the Scripture. And the only way to go according to the Scripture is to understand it's not by the works of the law. It's not by something that I fabricate up. It's not how good I am. It's not the things that I do. It's not the type of person that I make myself out to be. It's not being baptized in the baptismal pool. It's not being a person that keeps that which is the Holy Communion, if you will, please. It's not somebody that tries to keep the sacraments. All the works of the law does, if you would please, all the person does that tries to live by that which is just works, just works, just works. You know what they're doing? They're digging their own hole. I don't know about you, but I don't want to dig my own grave to hell. But somebody believes they get to heaven by works. What are they doing? They're not going to be able to go to heaven. Why? He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Well, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ will save from the guttermost to the uttermost? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is the only way? Aren't you glad that it's Christ and Christ alone? Oh, wait a minute, watch this. I said, statement number one, I said, there are those that believe in all works, all works. Statement number two, there are those that believe in all faith. Jesse, come if you will, bring your Bible. And so, there are those that believe in all faith. Now, what is that? That's a person, if you would please, that will sit and they'll read the Bible. They understand what the Bible says. They understand that the Bible teaches that it's all faith. They understand that the Bible teaches that God had one son, Jesus Christ. They understand that Jesus Christ was the one that shed his blood on Calvary. They understand that a person is justified by that blood. They understand that Jesus is the one that went to the grave. And I'm sure the devil had a heyday. I'm sure the devil looked down and thought, boy, I've got him. I've got the Son of God. I mean, look at him there as he lies there very still. But one day went by and 2 days went by and that third day is right there and up from the grave he arose. Now wait, understand what the Bible teaches where it says, Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, Michael, not of works. Lest any man should boast. Wait, Romans chapter 3 and in verse 28, the Bible says, therefore we conclude. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was coming up as a little boy, I read a lot. I like to read, and so I read a lot. And as I was coming up as a little boy, I would get into different type of Western reads or something like that. And you know, I was getting close to the end, and when I got close to the end, Mama would always ruin it. And it was, by the way, it was a good ruin, but Mama would always say, supper time. Now, if you're going to be ruined by something, you ought to be ruined by supper time. But Mom would call up, and Mama would say, it's supper time. Oh, you know what I'd do? I'd always turn as quick as I could to the back of the book to find out if my hero stayed alive. I cheated. But you know, I felt justified by cheating because I found out that my hero made it through. But by the way, listen to it. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, therefore, we conclude. We're going to the back of the book. He said, I'm going to tell you the conclusion of it. And by the way, that's written in the book of Romans. He says, let me tell you how we can conclude it before you even read the last chapter of the book of Revelation. He said, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified, listen to it now, by faith without the deeds of the law. Here's the deeds of the law. Here's somebody working and working and working and working and working. All right, but wait a minute. Here's somebody over here that simply reads their Bible. Here's somebody over here that gets a gospel tract. Here's somebody over here that a soul winner comes by, takes the Bible, shows them how to be saved, takes a soul winning card, shows them how to be saved. They bow their heart. They receive Jesus Christ as Savior. And God says, hey, he says, that one right there is justified. Not justified by the works of the law, not justified by the deeds of self-righteousness, but he's justified. So that means this. That means without baptism, a person can still be justified. That means this. That means without communion, a person can still be justified. That means this. That means that without the sacraments, a person can still be justified. That means without church membership, a person can still be justified. That means without tithing, a person can still be justified. Why? Because I'm not justified by the things that I do, but rather I'm justified by the only one that gives justification, and that is Jesus Christ. James chapter 1 and verse 22. The Bible says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. So after I get saved, remember the book of James is talking about justification before men. Then the book of Romans is talking about justification before God. So the way I get justified before God is that I come to him through Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So when I come to God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, I'm now justified before God. But what happens after I get justified? I'm not supposed to just sit around. I'm not supposed to be somebody that just reads and reads and reads and reads. I'm not supposed to be somebody that just comes to church and I take up my 18 inches of plus pew. No. No, I'm supposed to do something for God. And this is where a lot of people miss it. A lot of people think, well, here, I am saved. And so since I'm saved, I just want you to know that I'm saved and I'm going to go to heaven. And everything is hunky-dory-dory. And by the way, everything is. And thank God that you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But God does not expect you to get saved and just sit around. God expects you to get busy. By the way, are you listening to me? When you play football or you play some other type of athletic sport, you will enjoy it more if you're on the field than sitting on the bleachers. You know, it's something about carrying that pigskin, that 18 ounce of pigskin down the field, and everybody, you get a blood rush when everybody's after you and you feel like if they catch you, you're dead. There is something about being on the court. There's something about being on the field. There's something about being involved. I think many people miss it. You won't believe this, but in every church in America, there are what we call Sunday morning worshipers. Now, what is that? That's people that come Sunday morning, but that's it. You know, church is like going to a meal. Church is like going into, if you would please, a place where you can eat plentifully. Well, you go into a place and it's good. You want to go back. You want to go back time and time and time again. Now, I've got news for you. God says, taste of him and see that he is good. Taste of the Lord. Taste of his goodness. Taste and just see how good God is. Wait a minute. Did you know I don't eat just 3 times a week and that's it? You can tell Brother Wislowski don't eat just 3 times a week and that's it. But did you know I go back and I eat. And I eat. And you know, when you find that place that you really like to eat. I showed up at a house the other day. And matter of fact, even last week when I was out soul winning, I think it was on a Tuesday night. And I was out soul winning and I followed Brother Watkins around. And we went to this one house. And I forget, I think it was Ben that was my partner. We were knocking on doors in this apartment building. And I could smell it. I mean, it was chicken. And it had this aroma. I'm telling you that this aroma started, and it was on the 3rd floor where these people were living. But the aroma was on the 1st floor. I found the apartment by my nose. Don't make fun of my nose. But boy, I started to smell that, and I started to walk upstairs, and I knocked on the door, and there was Brother Watkins Brother Watkins had already beaten me to the punch. He's sitting in the living room eating chicken. No, I'm kidding. But he already beat me to the punch, and he was already up there. He had already knocked on the door, and he was inside. And so I knocked on the door, and they said, come in. And I walked inside, and there he was, big old smile. And I said, well, Brother Watkins, it's good to see you, and I'm not going to interfere. But I'm going to take off. But is this everybody? And they said, well, no, there's some college kids in the back. And I said, well, now, wait a minute, I can't leave till I meet them. So, hey, all you kids in the back that's college age, come out here. I want to meet you. And so I hollered, and they started coming down the hallway, three of them. One of them dashed in the bathroom. I said, oh, it's too late now. I already saw what you look like. Come on down the hallway. I want to shake your hand. And so they came down the hallway, and they came into the living room area. And I said, look, this is Brother Watkins. And I said, Brother Watkins is going to show you what the Bible says about going to heaven. Now, I want you all to listen. And I said, now I'll come back later for chicken. But you all listen, and he's a great man, and he's going to show you what the Bible says about going to heaven. And boy, he showed them, and they bowed their head, and they received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, wait a minute. After they get saved, they're not just supposed to sit around and say, boy, I'm so glad I'm saved. Man, this is wonderful. I'm going to float in Jesus. I mean, I'm going to come to church, and it's going to be wonderful. And the preacher's going to preach, and I'm going to feel like I'm on the cloud. And I'm going to float to the altar, and I'm going to float as my hand goes in my pocket, and I'm going to give in the offering. And you don't float that way, though. But now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. And so there's the works of the law, but then there is salvation in Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, notice your Bible, here's what it says. The Bible says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be, it says, a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The Bible says, for he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So God says, once you get saved, don't forget what God did. He said, you be that which is a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Don't you love to help people? I mean, don't you love to be able to encourage somebody? Don't you love to be able to go out and pour your life into somebody else? Don't you love it when somebody comes across your path and you're able to help them become everything that they ought to be? Well, that's exactly what God says we're supposed to do after we get saved. So once I receive Jesus Christ, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to get up and I am supposed to work. So pick something up over here and start to work. All right, now wait a minute, watch this though. But we get confused. Those of us that maybe have not visited or frequented church as much. And so here's what we do. And so we get kind of confused. We look, well, there's religious people over here and they're working and that's got that face to it. And then there's religious people over here and they're working and it's got that face to it. But what you have to do is you have to dive in deep and you have to find out, okay, why is he working? Is he working to get himself to heaven? Why is he working? Is he working because he loves the Lord? Is he working because God saved him? And is he working because he's got Jesus Christ in his heart? And by the way, that's the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to work to get to heaven, but after we receive Christ as Savior, here's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be excited about serving Jesus Christ. Watch this, if you will. Thank you. Be seated there for a moment. I said there are three prevalent philosophies about salvation. There are those that believe all you do is work. All you do is work. I mean, you work and you work and you work. There are those that believe, which is the Bible way, that it's all by faith. So they receive Jesus Christ into the heart. But believe it or not, there are those out there that believe in both. There are those out there that say, well, yes, you need to receive Jesus Christ and be baptized. And some people even look at it the wrong way. Here's what they do. They say, well, I'm just not really sure, and I want to do everything I can in order to go to heaven. So since I'm not sure if Jesus Christ has the power within himself to save, I've got to add something to it for a surety's sake that I can make it to heaven. So some people add baptism to it. Some people add being obedient. Some people add trying to be somebody that just holds out faithful to the end. Some people decide they're going to add works to it. Other people decide that, oh, you know, if I don't keep, and I know churches that teach this around America, but if I don't keep that which is the Lord's Supper, they call it Holy Communion, if I don't go to that, then if I miss that 1 week, and if I die before the next week, then I'm not going to make it to heaven. Some people believe that they've got to try and keep all the Ten Commandments, and if they don't, they'll fall short of heaven. So what they're doing is they're adding to the Bible. For Jesus himself said, the Son of God, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus did not say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Now, wait a minute. Notice in your Bible, Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. Very significant verse here. Romans chapter 11 and verse 6. Here's what the Bible says. Now, I want you to notice this very carefully. I want you to notice the wording the Holy Spirit gave. Here's what it says. And if by grace, okay, now we're talking about grace. What is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of Jesus Christ. Grace is I, by receiving Jesus Christ, now I get to go to heaven. Grace is giving me what I do not deserve. Mercy is withholding from me what I do deserve. So grace is giving me that through Jesus Christ, heaven. Mercy is withholding from me that which I rightfully deserve, which is hell. All right, here's what he says about grace. Listen to it. It says, and if by grace, watch it, then is it no more works. Now, why does God say that? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. He said, if you're over here and you're mixing grace with that which is works, then what happens is, listen to it, it's not true grace. See, grace stands alone. So for a person to say, well, I believe it's grace plus works, God said, for every single person that believes that they get to heaven by grace plus works, then what they've just done is discounted grace. Watch what it says. The Bible says, but if by works, okay, now he's saying, okay, well, let's look at the other side. If a person says, well, I'm going to get to heaven by works, I'm going to get to heaven because I believe in myself. I believe that I'm good enough that one day I'll merit heaven. I believe that God, because of my personal goodness, would never allow me to go to hell. Now watch what he says about works. But if it be of works, watch it, watch the wording, then it is no more grace. It says, otherwise work is no more work. Remember, in the book of Romans, it's talking about justification before God. In the book of James, it's talking about justification before men. I get justified only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. God is not willing to share his glory with anyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He did not say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him in baptism, or whosoever believeth in him and keeping the sacraments, or whosoever, no, it's Christ and Christ alone. Wait a minute, watch this. Here's what we see. There are three different types of people out there that believe salvation differently. There's the type of people that believe that it's all by works. There is the type of people, which is a Bible way, that believes that it's all by faith. There's the type of people, if you will, that believe in both. Now, I want to show you the one that is the tiredest. Let me show you the one that is trying and trying and trying. Michael gets up here. Go ahead and work, Mike. Mike gets up here and he works, but every time I look away, Mike stops working. Did you notice that? All right. Now, wait a minute. There are those that believe that they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and He's the only way to go to heaven. But yet I've seen people that get saved that also do not work. This would be like the person that says, well, I go to church all the time. The one that just works every so often. Well, I go to church all the time. Well, really? How often do you go? Well, I go every Easter. And I go at Christmas time too. I mean, I'm religious. All right, wait a minute. What is that? That's somebody that works only when a great crowd is looking at them. That's all they're doing. Just for that outward appearance. Then you have people that go to church someplace, a type of church, or if you would please, according to a Bible terminology, not even a church, just a gathering. But there are people all over the Dallas area that are going to places that they call churches this morning, and they do it every Sunday. I mean, boy, every Sunday they work. And there's some that even go back when churches have church services on Sunday night, and they work. Then there's some that even go to a Bible study if they have that, and they work on Wednesday night. Then there's some that go around, they try and get other people to join their religious group, and they work. But they're not working because they are saved. They're working to try to become saved. That is a philosophy. A Bible philosophy, and the only true Bible, listen to me, foundation in which to stand on is Jesus Christ. So when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, should they work? Yeah. Does everybody work? No. But then there's the people that really exert themselves. That's the statement number one. There are those that believe in all of works. Statement number two, a Bible, a scriptural, and the only one that's true is Jesus Christ and Him alone. So they believe in all faith, all grace. But there is those that believe in both. So Matthew, you help me. I'm going to help you as you help me. Okay, so you come right here if you will. And so there are those, come up here on the platform. There are those that believe this. They believe that they need to add something. Oh, they believe, run over there. They believe in receiving Jesus Christ. Run back over here. But they also believe they need to go to heaven by works. Run over here. And they believe that they receive Jesus Christ. But run back over here. But they also believe in communion. But run back over here. They believe in receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. But they believe they need to be faithful to church. But they believe in receiving Jesus. But they believe that they need to be kind to their neighbor. But they believe in receiving Jesus Christ. Now, I'm telling you, that will plumb wear a person out. You know, no wonder these people are running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. They say, well, yeah, I do. I do believe that, and you've heard this, I believe you need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and live it. Because if you don't live it, then you can't make it to heaven. All right, here's what they're doing. They say they believe in Jesus Christ the Savior, but they got to do something themselves because after all, I need to live it. That is a work salvation. You know, some people believe every time that you don't live it, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you come over here and you don't live it. You try to, but you don't. And you try to, but you don't. All right, they say, well, and that's how come they get baptized over and over and over again. Because they feel like they have fallen short, and so they try, and they get over here, and then they try, and then they try, and then they try, and then they, all right, no, wait a minute, watch this. That's a person that believes, and that will wear you plumb out. I mean, you ought to thank God this morning that, hey, you don't get to heaven by works. You get to heaven through Jesus Christ. That's the only one. He said, I am that way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But now after, if I truly get saved, I receive Christ as Savior. Pick it up, Matthew. If I truly receive Christ as Savior, then I ought to be busy serving Jesus Christ. Oh, not just sit around. Hello? Just sit around and say, well, I tell you what, sure am glad I'm saved. You know? I mean, it's like somebody practicing yoga or something. Got their fingers pointed out, got their legs crossed. Boy, I sure am glad I'm going to go to heaven. I'm meditating on the things of God. And they get that, ooh. And then you walk in and you go, ooh. Now, wait a minute. Please get this. I am so glad that I'm saved that I don't have to be forced to come to church. Brother McCarty, I like church. I like being here every time the doors open. Boy, I like it when the preacher gets up and he sweats. I like it when the preacher gets up and he's not as dead as last year's cheese. Boy, I like when the preacher gets up and the preacher gets on fire about something. He begins to spit and all that holy water begins purling out. Boy, I like it when the choir gets up to sing. Boy, I like it when people say amen in church. Hey, listen, we are not a dead church. We are not. That's how come the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man, you ought to be in a church where God is alive and God is working and God is helping people and God is in complete control. I'm saying this morning that if a person receives Christ as Savior, you ought to get busy for God, work for God, be excited about God, rise up and do something for God. Don't sit around. Don't be dead. You decide that you're going to be part of the redeemed and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hey, watch this, if you will. So after I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm supposed to be on fire for God. Come on. Let me give you something and I'm done. Just practical here, okay? Go ahead and have a seat and put your mallet down before you hurt yourself. Okay, watch this, if you will. Let me show you an illustration of what happens in churches all over America. Jonathan, Heather, would you come, please, and bring Luke with you. Watch this, if you will. I want you to see something. Here's what happens all over America. All of a sudden, somebody comes knocking at your door. And all these years, come up here and stand beside works. All these years, you have believed that you get saved by works. And so somebody, soul winner, Brother Palmore, soul winner, comes knocking at your door. He's trying to find his New Testament. Comes knocking at your door. There he is. Ready? Let's do it together. Ready? Here we go. Knocking at your... Okay. All right. Opens the door. Shows them... Watch me now. I'm going to show what happens. Shows them how to get saved. They all bow their head. Quick salvation. And receive Christ as Savior. Then Brother Palmore does this. Brother Palmore says, okay, let's go over here and let's grow. Come on, let's go over here and grow. So they receive Christ as Savior. All right, and all of a sudden now they're growing. They're coming to church, preachers preaching, coming to Sunday school, coming to church. I mean, they're doing everything they can. But this young man right here, oh, let's say that, and you stay there. But this young man right here decides I remember the day before I got saved. I remember the day that I didn't go to church as much. I remember before I got saved. Now, by the way, before he got saved, he did all sorts of things in his life. But he don't remember the bad things that happened because of the things that he did in his life. But he says, I remember the day that I was not in church all the time. I remember the day when I do whatever I wanted to do, when I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, and why I wanted to do it. So therefore, I think I'm going to backslide. And by the way, once saved, the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is in the Son. When you truly receive the Son, you receive everlasting life. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. But he decides that he's going to go back and he's going to go back and maybe start to live the way he used to live. Now, mom and son, and this is pretend son here, but mom and son, you know, they're over here and they're going to church and boy, they're all excited about God and the preacher's preaching and the people are following along and mama's smiling just as big as mama could smile and son is smiling just as big as son can smile, but daddy's not in the picture. I'm going to tell you something, that makes it hard. Because when mama tries to raise all by herself, little kiddo here, then it gets difficult if little kiddo says, but where's daddy? If it's so important about living for God, where's daddy? But if they both get excited about serving God, come on. He gets over here, and the preacher is preaching. He's preaching. And he said, boy, I tell you what, you need to be faithful to church. Love God and serve God and obey God. And daddy's saying amen. And mama's smiling. And junior's looking at mama. And boy, he sees, well, I must fit in there somewhere. See? Now, what am I saying? The happiest day of your life. I want to show you this. This is so good. Stay with me. I'm done. The happiest day of your life, number one, is salvation. When you realize you don't get saved by works, you don't get saved by justifying yourself. And all of a sudden you come to a good old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, premillennial, hill, fire, brimstone, soul-winning, separated Baptist church. Amen. Preacher gets up, preacher begins to preach, and all of a sudden you see your child begin to change. All of a sudden mama begins to change. Daddy takes on a different countenance. Now son's trying to live for God, and son's trying to obey God, and boy, daddy's happy about that, and mama's happy about that, and junior's happy about that, and all right, now wait a minute. And now all of a sudden their fun is oh yeah, boy, they go play basketball, and sometimes they'll go out and they'll do a little bit of fishing, and sometimes they go out and they kill their bear, and sometimes they do stuff like that, but serving Jesus Christ becomes something they do as a family. And they say, boy, we just enjoy it. And because of that, God begins to bless them. God begins to use them. God begins to help them. And before you know it, they're happy with grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-great-grandchildren that are serving the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.